Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Stephen Lang.
As we're reaching the end of the year, we're going to be taking a little look back at our favourite interviews from 2023.
To start us off, we'll be revisiting our friends from the Love Island villa, Will and Jesse, as they reflect on their time on the show and their relationship, which is still going strong.
Hello.
Hey.
Love Islanders, welcome.
Not Jesse and Winter.
I'll Jesse, cop it though.
Yeah, just the one.
Jesse and Will.
Jesse and Will, how are you guys doing?
Yeah. Oh, we're so good.
Yeah, doing really good. Loving this.
Being
thank
in
you
the
for
studio.
Having us.
No, it's great for you to
so
both
welcome.
Be here.
Lovely to be our first Love Islanders in the studio.
Let's go.
Legends. How is everything? Is it crazy town right now?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's pretty non-stop, but it's like good. Do you know what I mean? We're doing things that we love, and it's just we're loving doing it together as well, which is the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, always better than doing it on your own, isn't it?
Well,
I guess it's great in the sort of crazy environment where you've just been thrust out into the wilderness to have someone with you that's at least been through it and you like one another. That's a bonus.
100%, yeah. And as well, like, I'm in the UK right now. Like, what's going on?
We're trapping her on the farm.
Yes.
Yeah, how are things going on the farm? Because you've been staying there since, right? Since you got back.
Yeah, so I'm loving the farm. Like, it feels like home. Like, yeah, I'm loving it there.
Good answer.
Have you bought yourself some wellies yet?
I've been wearing his mum's. She's been very nice donating them to me. So, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, we've been kitting Jesse out all in my mum's gear and everything like that. So
love it. So nice. You're out there with your milking cow. I don't know what I'm doing now. I've milked a couple of cows in my time. Have you milked a cow? What have you been doing? What's farmer girl like?
So Will's got me helping out with the sheep. Now, I must admit, I am not the most productive farmer. I do a lot more watching than I do helping, but I'm there for the moral support, you know.
Got
it's
it.
A thought that counts.
Yeah, I got Jesse with a wheelbarrow, put some hay in. I sat back, relaxed. It was a dream for me.
Is it a bit weird though, having to like bring someone into your world like that? Because it's very different from the villa.
Right? It is, yeah. It is a little bit weird because obviously I've never had a girlfriend. So
yes.
From going from no girlfriends or nowhere near it in my entire life to after the villa, Jesse coming home and then like staying with me, showing her the fire. It's a massive, massive change, but I'm loving it, and I hope that she's loving it as well.
Mate, if I'm on the farm working, I'm loving it. I tell you that much.
So, Bob, how did it compare? Because also you've done the Oz version of
yeah.
the show.
Yeah.
How
so when
does
I did
the UK version, even though it's in South Africa, but do you know what I mean? What's the differences?
Other than the accents.
Yeah.
Better boys.
We have Will. We had Will. So the
you had a song.
it was quite different, but I was like 23 when I did the first one. You know, I was fresh out of a relationship, 23 years old. I was running a bit of a muck back then. So I think this time I got a lot more emotionally invested. The outcome was a lot better, obviously, because I left with this absolute gem.
All right.
Good answer.
Yeah. And then obviously, instead of coming out back to Australia and going back to my home and my family, I've come straight to the UK, so it has been a whirlwind of a ride. So,
but in terms of like production wise, is it very much the same? Like once you're in that villa, like it is what it is, or is there a production difference between the two shows?
I think there was a little bit more structure to the UK one. Love Island Australia, yeah, kind of felt like I was in there just doing what I wanted. Like yeah. I could get up, do a workout. If I didn't want to talk to the guy I was coupled up with for the whole day, they didn't
goals.
Give a heck.
Yeah, really?
I was just on holiday in there. Whereas this one was a little bit more intense, so yeah.
In what way intense? Just because they are on you more, like, sort of thing?
Yeah, I feel like, firstly, emotionally, I think it's because I was so much more emotionally invested this time. Like, it was more stressful than the last time for me. Last time was just, it was a lot more fun. Like, it did feel like a holiday. I had the best time of my life. Like, aside from
oh. Oh, great.
Aside from this one, like, I was having so much fun. Whereas this one, like, you know, we had a lot more emotional support as well. Like each day you had to go have in like an emotional check-in. We called right. it the Zoom room, that type of thing. So, yeah it was a lot more structure, yeah. But outcome has been so much better because I've left with Will.
How and adorable.
Beautifully.
Now, I always like to ask our guests, especially if they've come from like a reality background, because I completely get it after doing 10 plus years on a reality show. I don't know if it's different because obviously you've come out as a couple, so maybe so, but let's talk social media and DMs. I mean, good-looking girl. I mean, you ain't on my bus, obviously. But
wait, I'll take the compliment.
Gorgeous. You've both got gorgeous eyes, by the way. I'm just thinking, if the kids happen...
the kids will happen.
Oh, jeez.
You've got eyes like Tiffany boxes. Stunning. But anyway, I digress. When it comes to DMs, like if you come from a reality show or you're on a reality show, you know when people just slide in and they try their luck a little bit? If you're in a relationship, is that not some... Basically, is there any blue tick dick sliding into yours? And what are the girls saying to you? Or what are your DMs saying? I want to know. Both spill the tea.
I'm punching. I fully know I'm punching. Do you know what I mean?
No.
So for me, I'm not overly going through my DMs seeing what cheeky girls... What cheeky boys are in there. So I haven't got any tea on that. On that front.
Fair. Yeah, I think people can see that we're really set. So, like, even if you did slide into the DMs, sorry, mate, there's no point. You're wasting your time, so...
What about first time round? We ain't done it and it didn't end so happily. Was there geezers trying it on the socials? Because also, it's watched by so many people, you know, and they've got to be like, oh, yeah, I'll message you. I don't know if they speak like that.
What, just like, straight men?
Yeah. I'll DM her.
They do. I can confirm.
Do you like my straight act there? Do I pass a straight?
No.
I like the arm movements you do with it.
So what was it saying the first time around? Because it's mad what people think is acceptable to DM people, and it's crazy.
You do get a lot of DMs, but honestly, I'm so bad at replying. Like, I forget to reply to my mum, let alone geezers in my DMs. So,
did you ever get the dick pics?
Oh, we've had the dick pics. Avoid.
Yeah. And they're never generally good dicks.
It's just like, why are you doing it? Why?
You wouldn't mind if it was a lovely one.
I'm like, babe, you're not doing yourself any favours here.
Yeah. But then it's when they try and do the angle and the lighting, just trying to make it look good. And I'm like, oh, bless.
Look,
but
some of us have to rely on that, Bob, all right? That's all we've got.
And you know they've got a ring light out and they've gave it their best.
0.5
soon. But like, the thing that gets me is like, why? Like, I didn't ask for it. What are you doing?
Yeah, what do they think you're going to right back. Oh, love that.
Thank you.
What you're doing tomorrow night. Yeah, that's a good intro. Is it much... is the Australian version as big in Australia as the UK version is here?
I think Australia's got a smaller population, if I'm correct, so it is big in Australia, but we love the UK one over there as well.
Really?
So, yeah, I think the UK one is the best one, let's be honest.
Yeah. Probably it's the OG, isn't it, I think? Because I remember when Love Island was, like, all celebrities about 15 years ago.
Oh, God, yeah. Completely we're old different. Enough to remember that, yeah.
That when it was the old version.
Yeah, I think it was two series and it was just always celebs doing it, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I remember when they brought it back and it was like, it's never going to work with normal people.
Yeah.
And then look at
it
now. Yeah, I mean, how many series is it in? Like 8 now or something like that? Like,
yeah, I think you've done the...
Nine.
So.
So, Will, in terms of how this all come about, was you approached to do the show or had you applied? Because, you know, when there's always like the winter and the summer, I guess what I'm trying to get at, did you want to go further afield? Did you want South Africa? Or was you happy to do Spain in the summer?
Yeah, to be fair, kind of like for me, it worked out perfectly. I did actually have an interview like 2 years ago where they contacted me and I kind of like sat back. I was like, yeah, ASAP, wicked. Didn't hear back from them.
They're like, not this year.
Yeah, fast forward to now, got in contact, did a Zoom, and I kind of just breezed it and was like, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. It's just one of those things where you don't think it's going to happen, so you just kind of like carry it on.
Right,
And then it was like, oh, no, they want me. And it was like, oh.
But I'm a big believer in fate and timing. And if you'd have done the summer or 2 years ago or even the one before, you would never have met. So what's meant to be will always be.
Yeah. 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the fact that like we're from the other sides of the world, I've never met anyone that I'd get along with so well. Like Will and I, it's just like we are perfect to each other. Yeah. Like to a T, it's insane.
And you was never going to bump into each other in Nando's.
No.
Let's be honest, you know what I mean? So when would your paths ever... You on a farm, you living your best life
in Tasmania.
Or Tasmania, sorry.
Never.
Which, by the way, I've realised is a real place. I thought it was just the cartoon, that little devil that spins around. But legit real place. But yeah, your paths never was going to cross in River Island.
No.
Other shops aren't available.
Nando's.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean?
It's crazy, because... kind of like our backgrounds, like family, where we live, what we like. Everything's just so aligned, and it is really weird. And kind of like the more we get to know each other, and the more we find out, it's like, oh, we're like two peas in a pod.
That's fate, babes.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You mentioned that the more you're finding out, obviously you're in the show and blah blah blah, but coming out as a different kettle of fish, you're not. Aren't speaking to producers every day, for instance, who are saying, come in and chat. You know, so what's it been like getting to know each other privately?
100 times better.
Really?
Like, when we got out of the villa, that was obviously,
were
like, a
nervous?
Fear.
Like,
yeah,
because you're like, oh, what if this is all just cameras
like,
and lights? Yeah.
No, when we got out of the villa, firstly, like, by the end of the series, I was like, I just want to get out and, like, experience life with Will. So when we got out, It just honestly has elevated so much. Like, and not having everyone else around you in the villa, you've got producers and whatnot, like, we are so much closer. I'm pretty much living at his farm at the moment, and we haven't left each other's side, so.
Yeah, there's always that worry as well when you're in the villa, kind of like your relationship in the villa, and there's that worry, oh, when we go out into the outside world, is it going to be the same? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? But when we kind of like got dumped.
You done pretty well, fifth.
Yeah, really well. Got dumped and went into the isolation period. We kind of like sat down and it was like a bit like, ooh, but then you kind of like relaxed and it was like, oh, this is 10 times better.
Yeah.
100 times better.
And what's your thoughts? Obviously, we all know how reality TV works. I guess your feet ain't touched the ground to sit and watch the whole series, but from, you know what press is like and socials like, from people that you've lived with for weeks and months, from what you're seeing on social, what's your thoughts? Is everyone what you thought they were in the villa, or are people showing a different side now?
You can answer this question.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
All right. I think yeah, there's definitely a change. I think we kind of felt that in the villa, coming to the end, people's actions towards you did change a little bit. Mm-hmm. Which I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's a game show. People are going to get competitive. There's a winner.
There's losers. Money.
There's money involved, yeah. You know. But yeah, I think like we have saw that on podcasts, different things like that. People coming out and, you know, saying, giving their 2p and everything like that. But do you know what? Give everyone the spotlight. That's absolutely fine. We're going to do us. We're going to be in our own lane.
And it's funny you say it like that, because actually, even though it's not just a reality show, but I forget it is a competition.
We forgot that in there.
To me, Love Island, I don't see it as a competitive thing.
No.
So when you start, and I guess especially when you've lived with these people, we're not going to spill this, like, I'm not going to ask too much. But when you start seeing people change, like, in the last week or two, I'd be like, well, we're just all mates, or we're together,
we've known each other for weeks.
I've just not got that in my mindset or my psyche to be like that. Like, I think 100%. You've either got that in you and you're one of them people, or you're just a good person.
You're an arsehole, or you're good. Yeah.
That's what we were like. We were just like, near at the end of it, we were just like chilling. Just
yeah, it is what it is. Because wherever you come, it's out of your hands by that point. Yeah. So what are you trying to prove? Like
100%. I was like saying to Will, so I just want to get out of here. Like when it got really competitive, I was like, dude, I just can't. Like I need to go home.
Yeah,
I need to fucking.
Yeah.
It was like that. Like laid in bed. Like she was like, I can't do this. I want to leave. And there was literally like three days left.
I was like, every day feels like a month. Get me home.
Yeah. Was it quite weird though, thinking as well, like exactly that, like getting home, but you also are not going back to Australia immediately. You're going to move.
Yeah. Like I didn't know what I was going to do. Kind of got towards the end and I was like, wait a second, where am I going? Like, what are we doing here? But luckily we had a cast holding period before we came out and got our phones back. So in that period, ITV were incredible and like really helped me out. They got me like a hotel for a week in London. And then in that time I could decide if I wanted to go back to Australia or if I wanted to stay here. And obviously I decided to stay here. So
great.
Great aunt.
What are you thinking is going to be next for you two? Well, are you going to be staying here for the foreseeable? I don't know if you're allowed. I don't know like what the rules are.
So I am allowed to stay here for a while, and then I've got to go back to Australia and then reset my visa and all that type of thing. But I've got 3 months here. before I have to worry about that. So I'll be staying here for those full 3 months.
Great.
Happy day. Unless Will gets on one knee and gives you a ring, and I guess that cuts that out. I may not try to get around any loopholes.
That will be happening.
So you have to get your, if you get your ring out, I guess you might got to go home and do all that.
Stay on the farm.
Wait, ever. Don't encourage him.
Yeah, so not advise that, by the way, if anyone's listening out there, but I'm not trying to, if that's a scam.
Yes, you are.
So what are you going to do for the next 3 months then? What have you got planned?
We've got a lot. I say good plans. We've got lambing season, baby.
Oh, the cutest animals, lambs.
I know.
Well, we've got lambing season for the next month. What I do, Jesse can, you know.
I just hang inside with his mum. I'll get a bottle of Prosecco.
Prosecco wellies. I bet you like that, a girl in wellies and a glass of Prosecco.
Love it. Absolutely love it. The dreams, isn't it? we've spoken about kind of like me going back to Australia as well. But I think like at the moment it's just like playing it by ear. You don't know what's going to happen.
Of course you don't. In the early days, but you seem, do you know what I mean, a strong couple, and both have very wise heads on your shoulders. From meeting you before the show briefly, you've both got very good heads on you, which I think is a really good thing in this industry.
Thank you. You're going to do well.
Did you have any sort of backlash when you came out?
Not really. Honestly, I have to say, I am so grateful for when I came out. I feel like I got so much love and support. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, what did I do to deserve this? Like, why is everyone being so nice to me? It is crazy how much love and support we've got. So
that's lucky, because it doesn't always happen that way.
Do you know what I think you did in response to your aunt? You was yourself.
Yeah.
And I think people, especially now, the way as reality goes on year after year, people try and be something they're not, or they try and predict what the audience wants. But the audience ain't stupid. So when you're genuine and something's real, people see it and they love it. When people try and manipulate it, people don't see through it. Do you know what I mean? Well, so that's what you've done. You was real and you was yourself.
I've never seen the show. Kind of like before going on, and I kind of like spoke to ITV and the producers and was like, do you think I should watch the show? And they were like, no, just go in, you know, don't have an idea of what's happening. And for me, yeah, honestly, I semi knew what was going on. I know you had to go in, graft girls, have a lad's holiday, but didn't really know the ins and outs. And I'm glad I didn't, because then you can't plan. And I think like people that go in and have a plan,
A game plan don't work, because there's, especially when you're living,
too many variables. Who knows what could happen?
But I feel like that's kind of how I live my life. Like, just go in. You're never going to live life to the fullest if you're trying to plan everything. So I just plan nothing. Hence why I'm here, guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to have you. Our first Love Island is in the studio.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it. And honestly, like Bob said, I think you both seem to have very like good head on your shoulders. So yeah.
And amazing eyes, right. The pair of you.
Aw, thank you, likewise.
Oh, thank you, babe. I wish mine were blue, but they're not. But thank you.
You can get some contacts, babes. You're fine.
I'm terrible at putting them in.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
fair.
That's a boring chat.
Well, thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate you coming in, and best of luck.
Thank you.
We do hope our Will and Jess are having a lovely old time on the farm. I've got to say, though, babes, one of my favourite guests of the year on reality TV was Chloe Fetch of Perfect Match and Too Hot to Handle fame. We had a good old chat about relationships, dating, and what TV shows she'd love to get involved with. Give this a listen.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, you're right.
How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thanks for joining us, babes.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. What have you been up to? Been busy?
Oh, I've been busy, yeah. It's been an absolute whirlwind of just roller coasters. How have you been?
Yeah, we're all good. We were just talking about the snow.
You look very nice and tanned, Bobby. I'm so jealous. I haven't been on a sunbed in 2 months.
Oh, it's a fake bake. Other brands are available, but I love a fake bake. This makes you feel a bit better, having a bit of a glow, doesn't it? So tell me, I mean, it's all been going on for you. Like I say, busy, busy, busy. How are you finding everything? Big feet ain't touched the ground.
I mean, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. It's just because we filmed the show over a year ago, all of those emotions left. And like now, rewatching it and then re-talking about it, it like brings up all of those emotions that you felt on the show when you were filming it. So yeah, I've been through an emotional roller coaster.
You've been a bit of a sort of reality TV veteran, really, haven't you? You've done it. Which of what you've done is your favourite thing?
I think my favourite would be Too Hot to Handle. because it was just like my first show. And I was like quite naive when I first entered the industry. I was only like 19 when I got casted. So I've basically, I've grown up on Netflix, which is crazy. And I've just completed my hat trick.
How do you find, like you say, the now you're kind of having to watch everything a year later, and then you kind of have to relive it? And I think that's the thing that, I mean, sometimes obviously not all shows are filmed a year in advance. Some can be a week later, some can be a few months. But once you're feeling something at the time and then you're filming it, so you live it then, and then you watch it back and you relive it, and then you kind of have to live it a third time when it comes to social media and then people, because everyone's got an opinion on it. How do you find that side, kind of digesting it three times? It's a funny old thing, isn't it?
I've got IBS. So I can't digest anything, okay? I can't
digest the shits, though.
I get the shits quite a lot, yeah.
When this show's done it, just pulled it on.
Yeah, all the anxiety and stress. To be honest with you, I think digesting it a second and a third time is okay. It's better than actually like actually reliving it. But I think the thing for me is waiting a year for it to come out. I get really nervous because I forget. So it's like you filmed it and you forget what conversations you've had. And then when you rewatch it, you're like, did I really say that on TV? And then my mum and dad are ringing me and they're like, Chloe, what is wrong with you, girl?
Because it is a really long time. No wonder you forget. I mean, I remember back in the day when we used to have like a week's turnaround. I think sometimes it would even be 3 days. Back in the day when Terry was on like Sunday and Wednesday, we'd do two a week. Within 3 days, when an episode would come on, you almost forget what you'd said even the week before. So a year later, you must just be bashed. You're like, I completely forgot it. No recollection of it. At least that's nice in the way that when it comes to the edit, there's no judgment of it for you, because you probably don't even think how they're going to edit it because you forgot about it.
I mean, I'd never worked with the production company Kinetic before, the people that produced Perfect Match. So it was a little bit like, oh, okay, how are they going to like portray the show? Because watching it back, it was quite a dramatised series. There was so much drama, so many arguments. And when I was on the show, I just thought it was going to be about love and like just being in love and finding someone.
Now, come on now. Surely you know with these reality TV find your perfect partner shows, it's never going to be quite that simple. Surely.
I just think I'm quite naive in the industry.
So you've done three now, like I say, you've done your hat trick. What you've got your eyes on next? Is there another show in the pipeline you want to do?
Well, do you know what? I actually watched The Mole the other day. I don't know if you've seen it. But
no, I haven't actually.
You should watch it. It's really good. It's what Dom was on, the winner of Perfect Match.
Yeah.
And it's like James Bond. You have to like complete challenges and tasks. Like I feel like I'm out of the dating scene now on Netflix. It's like, okay, what's next? Like, what's Chloe's next goal? I want to get into acting. I want to get into presenting and hosting. So hopefully I get to present or host my own Netflix show. I had a meeting with Netflix the other day. So
they obviously like you.
It's knowing whether to go down that path or not. So yeah, I'm just excited for what the future brings.
And what's the DM saying, Chloe? Who's sliding in? Any blue tick?
There's no blue ticks that have teed in, to be honest with that, other than like brands and stuff. And I'm like, okay, send me free clothes. I don't mind.
Yeah. The coins are better than the blue tick dick. You've got to pick a pound note over there, I say, Gil.
100%. Fuck the blue tick dicks. Literally.
What about, obviously, so forget the blue tick dick, but what's the other DMs? What's the quality like? Any potentials? Would you go for someone who just slid into your DMs, or is that a complete turn off no-no?
I feel like it would be a complete turn off no-no. Only because I'm the hopeless romantic that wants to meet someone out. That like I go to a restaurant or like I'm in Aldi or like Morrison.
In the middle aisle.
And I'm bumping into someone.
With your binoculars looking for someone, are you like on the hunt?
Like I drop a loaf of bread or something and they're like, oh, would you like me to pick that up for you? Like I'd love to meet someone like that.
Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Oh, do you remember that film Slight? I mean, I'm one or two years older than you, I think, Chloe. But there used to be a film called Sliding Doors. And it was basically all about kind of fate and being on, like, you missed a train or, I mean, I won't tell you the old film because the show's only an hour long. But basically, like, I used to just say, oh, you could meet someone on the train or just walking down Oxford Street or in
You could miss the love of your life because you miss getting on that train. Yeah, I mean, this.
What's it called? Sliding Doors.
Sliding Doors.
It's got Gwyneth Paltrow in it.
Right, okay, I'm going to watch it because that sounds like my type of film.
It's a good film, but if you start thinking about it too much, you start not wanting to miss any trains. What if there was a salt on there? Could have been Mr. Wright, could have been my husband on there, and I'm fucking 2 minutes too late and he's halfway to Edgware Road. So. I mean, so you've got to take it with a pinch of salt, Chloe. But I mean, I love that you're still hopelessly romantic. But I mean,
especially because of your experience on Too Hot to Handle and Perfect Match, it hasn't all probably quite worked out as you'd hoped, right? So you're still hopeful.
I mean, I would have thought that after being on a couple of Netflix shows, Netflix would know my type and that they would kind of know who to pair me up with. Nah. But there's not always the case.
Maybe they know your type and that's why they're pairing you up with who they're pairing you up with. Makes for a more interesting show.
Exactly. I mean, I'm going to have words with them, Bob.
Yeah, you're going to have a little word and say, look, I know what you're doing now. We've played this game 3 times. So what is your type? So obviously, someone who ain't sliding in the DMs, preferably you're not meeting on socials, you just want to meet in
reality shows.
Or a reality show, yeah, I hear you. What about just, so do you have like a mental checklist in terms of what, like a type? It could be listening, Clark. Right. So don't DM it if you are.
I go for medium ugly.
Mm. Oh.
But... hear me out. I didn't realise this until after my last ex. When I looked back at my exes and I was like, wow, because love is really blind. I'm like, okay, this is clearly my type. I don't think I have a type in looks. They can have blonde hair, black hair. They can like look like anyone, to be honest with you. I think it's if they make me feel like a princess from the get-go. And they're very like, they have this strong presence, you know, when they walk in a room and it's like, oh, who's that? Not that someone that's just like waddling around, someone that like asserts the room.
Yeah. No, I
like that term, waddling around like a penguin. You don't want that.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm waddling. I need someone like assertively walking up to me.
Striding in.
Grabbing me by the throat. Come on.
Dragging you back to his cave with his Audi braid. But I know what you mean. Sometimes it is a feeling, I think, and sometimes it's cliche, but you just know when you know, don't you? And it's a chemistry, I think, is there's a lot to be said for chemistry, but you just touched upon and said love is blind. Is that a show you would do? I mean, I know you said you dated out, but I mean, you ain't done that one yet. And would you
know what? I actually done a promotional thing with Netflix a couple of years ago for Love is Blind. So they flew me out during COVID to do this like working campaign with Love is Blind. And I was on Celebrity Hunted when the promotion come out. So I didn't realize the amount of noise that it made. As soon as I got back to my phone and looked at my socials, oh my God, like over fucking like 20 million people were like, Chloe's going on Love is Blind. Oh my God. But I wasn't, and I pissed everyone off. So I feel like if I was actually going to go on Love is Blind, I think the fans would fucking love it because they clearly thought I was going to go on it last season.
But you now know that who you're going to get paired up with probably ain't going to be a bit of you. Or are you being strategic that if, in case Netflix are listening, that you go for medium ugly, is that because you're then hoping, like, actually, I might get like a David Gandy lookalike? Or like a David Beckham kind of type. I see what you're doing here. Reverse psychology, I like it.
I studied psychology in school for half a year.
I can tell.
I know my fucking stuff.
I
I did one lesson in it, and all I learned is that left-handed people use their left hand to open the door.
I could have told you that without doing a lesson.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, so yeah, I thought that was a really clever fact.
It is.
I spent an hour in class learning that.
Jesus. What's the studies behind it, though?
I'm sorry, you two are nuts. This is obvious.
They must have asked left-handed people what hand you use to do things with, and they said, oh, when it comes to opening doors, we use... Well, maybe they use their left hand for everything. I don't know.
I reckon they do.
Get in touch, left-handed.
This is not where I expected this conversation to go, I'm just going to say. So now that those, we said, those shows on Netflix are over, is there one show you would love to do or even present?
I visualise myself on a tropical island.
Don't we all?
Helping other people find love. I feel like I would be a great matchmaker because Netflix have put me through the fucking ringer. They know that I have tried my best to try and find love on these shows and it's not worked. But there is a potential love interest now. I can't confirm or deny, but I feel like after all these times on Netflix, I've learned lessons and I'm starting to put them to practice. So I think Netflix could chuck me on one of a dating show, but I'll be the main host and just be ordering everyone around like puppets.
Are you after the Love Island gig?
I don't think Love Island would take me, Bob.
No, I mean hosting it.
Oh no, Maya Jama does an amazing job. I wouldn't even want to watch it if she wasn't presenting.
No, and you can't nick her job.
I would be hated if I took Maya Jama's job. Everyone would be
so
like, who the fuck is
so beautiful. She's just stunning. Everything about her. She ticks every box. I mean, not one important box for me, but she ticks a lot of boxes.
It's a good point.
If I could see that little Netflix show on an island, never say never. Put it out there, Chloe. Put it out there.
Exactly. Probably like a sex show or something. Something exotic that's going to intrigue people to watch it.
I'm down with watching whatever this is.
like embarrassing bodies.
Oh, yeah, that would be good too. Embarrassing bodies on a beach.
Oh, yeah. If she ever gives up, I'd like to roast that, to be fair. I couldn't think of a better job.
Well, Chloe, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it.
And, you're welcome. Thank you.
And best of luck with whatever you've got coming up next.
Thank you so much. And thank you for teaching me.
Best of luck with your new man. Yeah. I'm waving with my left hand. Best of luck with the new man on the DL.
Thank you.
Take care, Chloe. Bye, babes.
Bye.
Hopefully we'll see Chloe back on our screen soon. Back in March, we talked to Amy Anzell from The Apprentice, who gave us her unfiltered story about her treatment on the show and her thoughts on how it needs to change. It's a juicy conversation. Have a listen to this. Amy Anzell, you're in the studio.
Yeah!
So lovely to have you. Welcome as our first guest back.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming in.
Super excited to be in the studio.
Yeah. So you came on our show. Did you say it was this time last year?
It feels about a year ago because I think The Apprentice was on.
Oh yeah.
Right, so obviously it's on again. That's how I know what time of year it is.
And we was on Zoom.
And it was on Zoom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so how has life been in that last year? What's been going down?
Oh my gosh, it's been an amazing year. You know, the apprentice journey wasn't what I thought it would be.
No.
It was a lot more manipulated and just, reverse engineered. And they tried to make a fool of you. And I had no idea until I actually did it and saw it for myself firsthand. So when I came off the show, I thought, okay, I'll have to make lemonade out of lemons, so to speak.
Yep.
And I've been doing great. I've been expanding, scaling my beauty brand, Hollywood Browser Beauty, which I have for you both.
Oh,
and for the team out there,
Thank you.
We have a men's version now. Obviously tons of dermaplaning tools for women.
Amazing.
So we've expanded into lots of other retailers and into the Middle East.
Wow.
So I don't think I actually needed Lord Sugar.
But do you think that the show gave you the boost that you needed to sort of push your products? Now, without that, you might not have been able to do all you can, or do you feel like you would have done it anyway?
I think until you get to the interview stage, people care about you as a person. So for me, as a personality, I guess people now know me. I do a lot of TV debating now. I do GB News. I do Talk TV. So yeah, and I do FUBAR Radio. So yeah, so I think it's helped me be recognized as a personality. But in terms of my beauty brand, it helped a little bit, but not as much as I would have thought, because I thought people would have been interested in what I had to offer as an entrepreneur, but no, they just want to see you kind of screw up on the show.
And I'm not just saying this because you know I love you, but I knew of your product pre-apprentice because it's genuinely, and I'm not being paid to say this, obviously, even though I do love Ames, it's incredible what it does. When it comes to girl, even just down to having your makeup applied, the difference it makes to a girl that's have or guys that wear makeup.
A beautiful clean line. You must use Hollywood Browser.
Well, and I'm gonna be soon now. Yes. I've got a little goodie bag, but honestly, I genuinely knew the product because I knew how amazing it was, and it makes such a difference, doesn't it? Just even, but not even just makeup, even skin products,
skincare products. Yeah, and we have so many celebrities, and I know you have so many celebrity friends. So there are so many that do use our products and love them, and they say they can't live without their browser now. So, yeah.
Explain what that is. So I'm completely clueless. I'm rubbish. Yeah. Explain a bit about what that is.
Okay, you need one. Everyone needs one in their life. So basically, it's like a facial razor, single blade, but not dangerous at all because the blade is sandwiched between safety guards.
Got it.
So it feels more like a baby's comb, but when used at the right angle, the correct 45-degree angle, you're sloughing off the hair and the dead skin cells on the face, and you're left with the most beautiful, smooth, radiant glow.
Love it.
Yeah, so it's a must-have. It makes your makeup sit more flawlessly, it makes your skincare penetrate better, and ultimately just gives you a healthy glow.
Okay, interesting.
Which is what we all need.
Yeah. Yes!
So, going back to The Apprentice, do you think, like you say, until you're in that whole bubble, you don't know until it affects your life and what the ins and outs are. Do you think it's a bit of a dated format now?
Totally. It is so tired. And the thing is, I've been writing a weekly piece and doing a lot of articles about the show because people are interested from an insider's perspective, what it was and what it currently is. So how I view the show now, having been there, and I totally see the manipulation. It's a very dated format. They are just, they think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it's so broken. And I also think the way they deal with the candidates, it's bullying. It's nasty. It's unpleasant. And I think in 2023, that's not how you treat people in business. And how are you?
Or on TV.
Or on TV, exactly. I mean, I think Lord Sugar needs to be replaced with like a Stephen Bartlett or someone that's more, you could be stern, but yet fair. And yeah. I think if you watch Dragon's Den, they're critical, but constructively critical.
It's all in the delivery.
That's what's
isn't
missing.
It?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when he called me thick for no reason in the first boardroom. What are you, thick? What, you know, I thought, what is he talking about? Like, I haven't even had a chance to prove myself. But I realized then that my narrative was already written. I wasn't going to last as long as I thought I would. And I constantly saw him trying to get me out of that process. He was encouraging people to bring me back into the boardroom because the only way he could fire you is if you're brought back into the boardroom. Mm. And I was never being brought back into the boardroom because I was always contributing. So, I was always doing a great job.
Yeah, was you getting that vibe not just from him, but from producers and the way things was being... Could you see the way it was going to go?
My work was being manipulated. Not everybody's work was being manipulated. I remember I did this toothbrush in episode children's toothbrush, and I made it so it suited the age range of about 6 to 8. I have a 5-year-old son, and I thought, oh, he'd love it if it looked like a comic book. And then when the actual toothbrush was manufactured or printed out, I guess you'd say, on a 3D printer, the black outlines were gone, which made it look like the comic book. So all of a sudden, it looked like it was for babies, for nursery school kids.
Right.
And I thought, they manipulated my work. And then the storyline was, Amy doesn't even know how to appeal to children her own son's age. What an idiot. So they really can be quite, it's very damaging, you know, to you as a person, to your character, to your business. I just think it's so wrong how horrible they are to certain people, not to everyone. Some people do get through, especially the two finalists. I think not really looking like that bad.
Do you think they know that from the very beginning then, the producers,
totally.
Who they want to get through to the final?
I truly believe it's reverse engineered. And I actually was thinking about this the other day. In the house, we were talking about, because they offer you a haircut or, you know, whatever you need, maintenance, your roots done. And I remember asking, I said, oh, it's about time. I need to get my roots done. And at the time, it was like a bubble because it was just
COVID.
And I remember them not like granting me what I was asking for, but other people they were, and I thought, that's just so strange. So they already know when they want you out, and that's why I think you haven't been PM yet. I thought, that's the reason you're firing me in week 6. Someone this year wasn't PM for the first time until week 8.
Right.
So I just think it's bullshit.
It's not fair.
They make a reason up to get you out if you're not naturally being brought back in for whatever reasons.
So although you're kind of picking up from that from either Lord Sugar or producers and production, when you then watch it back, how do you feel about the edit? Does that change it all again? Do you feel you can get a hard ride of an edit to suit their narrative?
In this year's series or mine?
Yours and this one.
Well, what really shocked me was the real-time manipulation. So not necessarily the post-production edit. Because I did the first season of The Bachelor in America in 2002.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
I didn't know that.
And it was, you know, I just thought, what's the worst that can happen? Maybe in post-production, I'll have rolled my eyes at one point and they'll put that somewhere else. I thought, that's the worst that can happen.
That happened to me on a reality show.
I'll explain that afterwards. But yeah, I thought, that's the worst. And I've been through it and I'll come across great because I think I present myself quite well and I'm in control and I'm not going to be crazy like a chicken with its head cut off. But what I realize is it's real-time manipulation. So during the task, like I said, they'll change your artwork or they'll hide something or they'll just make things happen so that you're more prone to losing. I met a buyer who I pitched to months later, and she told me she was told not to buy any units from me. And then sure enough, in the boardroom, I sell on TV shopping like millions of units. And I remember the narrative was, you can't sell to save your life. You're the worst salesperson here. You sold nothing. Everyone else sold something. Amy, you sold nothing.
And so once they found their thing, they're going with it.
Yeah. So that could have been damaging. I mean, luckily it wasn't. And I saw the same thing this year with Simba. Simba, you call yourself a salesperson. You sold nothing. I thought, you're doing the same thing.
Honestly,
it's so boring to me that they do the same things over and over and over again. The same kind of tasks, the same kind of bullshit, the same kind of tripping people up. It's all the same.
And it's always the same, like, you come up with a product, someone does it really badly. Like, it's like, yeah, it is that same every year. It does. But then, you know, it comes out in the viewing figures and it's... It's been on a long time now, isn't it, The Apprentice?
Gosh, it's been on a long time.
It's probably about 17 years. But I think it's dying. I mean, I've been reading a lot of articles, not only like Daily Mail or, you know, Red Tops, but serious papers, The Guardian, The Independent. And people, you know, proper journalists are really criticizing the show. It's tired. It's dated. It's just, it's not cool to be making fun of people and bashing them nonstop. In business, you have up days, you have down days, you know, and they don't show. I always say it's like who loses less? Mm-hmm. Both teams lose because they make both teams look like idiots and they make all the candidates look stupid. And I think that's not real. And it's not how it used to be. I think people used to actually achieve like the small wins and they'd be complimentary. And you'd see people sort of, oh, they did well in that task. No one does well in any task.
Yeah, it's just a constant berating. It's quite interesting you say that because I was having a conversation with someone I worked with not long ago about how, remember when Simon Cowell was like the big man on reality TV and his whole shtick was that he was mean and dismissive to people. People just don't want to see that sort of thing anymore, right? Yeah. They're kind of over that idea.
I just think TV's evolved now. You don't get people laughing at people on screen and stuff.
The Apprentice still does have an element of that.
I know. And I think, you know, obviously we focus more so on mental health now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be really damaging to people's mental health. And it was to mine. I never went to a therapist before I was fired unfairly from The Apprentice. And I remember I had such anxiety. I thought, oh my God, what could I have done better? Or what did I do wrong? It was just, it wasn't making sense to me. Mm. And it was like going around and around in my head and I'd wake up with night sweats. And so I said to them, you know, they claim they look after the Apprentice candidates afterwards. So I called the producers and I asked for a meeting with their therapist. And basically she said to me, and I quote, Lord Sugar is just mercurial. mercurial, like he could do whatever he wants. And Amy, right. It's just a TV show. So then I went to a real therapist that I paid for, not related to the show, and she couldn't believe that that was the therapy I received from the show.
That's really bad. Yeah.
It's terrible. Mm. So
in
yeah,
terms of a duty of care, you didn't feel there was any.
Not at all. No, and that's happened, that was it.
That's happened again this year, hasn't it? In this latest series, there's been claims of things going on backstage. And
yeah
Yeah, maybe I think you're probably right. It's time to. I'm interested though. You mentioned The Bachelor. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What was it? How was it? It must be very different. 2002 was the very beginning of that time.
A reality, right? So when I did that, I think the only other reality show was Survivor.
Oh yeah,
which
yeah.
I think is
it's
coming
back.
Here now.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. We've come full circle. But right then, I remember the producers afterwards saying, we had no idea what we were doing. We were simply documenting these relationships and what would happen. And so there was no manipulation. I know now there probably is a lot more and a lot more scripting and whatnot. Mm. But back then it was so
organic.
Organic.
And reality TV was real in the early days.
Right. Think about the first few Big Brothers.
Yeah. And it's kind of evolved to become a genre of its own and a beast of its own. And now the genie's out of the bottle. I kind of feel like you've lost that little bit of organicness with it because there is the manipulation that goes, people know what they're signing up for now.
Well, I think people go on to be famous now.
Yeah.
And I think also The Apprentice tasks and the process is a game. It's not a competition. It's like who could get through those games without the producers tripping you up that much that you're going to fail.
Mm.
So it's really sad to me. And it's so funny. I watched it for 10 years. I was such a fan. I put it on a pedestal. I thought, when I go on, I'm going to smash it. I'm going to be there in the finals. I know it. And I was studying my business plan and my figures. And I couldn't believe how different it was when I was there. And that's why this year, in week two, a girl left. Shannon, she owns a bridal boutique. And I remember messaging her on Instagram. And I said, Shannon, you were like one of my favorites. You were going to make it to the end. No doubt. I said, why did you do that? You went through so much to get there. She said, Amy, something to the effect of, you were there. You know exactly why I left. So she wasn't willing to be made a fool of to get to the end is what I took away from that. And it's so sad. I'm just so disappointed.
That's the thing. When you're going in there as business people, and especially people that have got a product and a business already, you kind of have to draw the line somewhere, don't you? If you feel like actually my reputation, this could have a negative impact on my brand and my bread and butter. I've got a family.
Exactly.
You've kind of got to forget the TV show. I've got to look after my family and myself.
Yeah.
And what's so funny is I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe I missed out on TV Shopping Week in my series. I would have smashed
it. Yeah, you would have been
for 12 years. But then I thought, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. They would have made me look so bad. Mm. They would have claimed no one called. Amy, you've been doing this for 13 years. Guess what? No one called. You didn't sell one unit.
Yeah.
And you claim you're a good salesperson. I mean, can you?
Life goes back to normal. If that's then pulled, which is a huge part of your business, it's detrimental.
Detrimental. So I thought, what do they say? Man's rejection is God's protection. And I lived by that. Yeah, because I thought, I was so upset. But I truly think, you know, the universe takes care of us, whether we see it or not at the time. So I thought, I was being protected.
So what's the deal now? You and Lord Sugar aren't exactly...
Because he's blocked you.
He blocked me.
How does it feel to be blocked?
Good. Because it wasn't like I was harassing or criticizing or doing anything horrible. It was the men's skincare task a couple weeks ago. And I like to tweet during the show. Mm-hmm. Nothing horrible. And basically, they were pitching to Boots buyers to get some sales for their skincare products. And I said something like, how funny, you know, here I am, fired in week six, and Boots stocks my products. Something to that effect.
That.
And then he just blocks me. He just couldn't handle the truth.
Well, he doesn't. He's not really one for... He doesn't like criticism, does he? I mean, he's made that quite evident on Twitter
exactly. And I speak the truth. I don't lie. I don't harass. I don't bully. I just speak the truth. And it's
were you shocked though when you found out that he had it first? Well, in a way, because you're like,
I was like, what? It's now proudly displayed on my Instagram.
But that's a sign of getting under someone's skin. You've got to kind of wear that sort of badge of honour, haven't you? When someone's a bit like, when they're that bothered about your opinion, you're not being nasty, you're not being disrespectful, you've just voiced your opinion, which is what social media used to be about back in the day. To then kind of say, I'm blocked, I bet he's like, ooh.
Yeah, but you know what? It also shows me he couldn't stand me. He just didn't like me. I'm a strong, independent American woman. He doesn't, I don't think he likes Americans.
Really?
I don't think he likes outspoken, older people,
older women. Why would he not like Americans? What made you think that?
He comments a lot about Trump in a very negative way, and I'm like, I'm not Trump. I'm not related to Trump. I have nothing to do with Trump. Yeah. But as we know, if you look at their banter for years and years and years,
they really didn't get each other.
And it's more so, I think, Lord Sugar hates Trump. Trump is like, you know, Lord Sugar's like a piece of gum on his shoe. You know, he couldn't care less. But, you know, I think Lord Sugar really has an issue with Trump.
But that's interesting that you take it out just on the average American. Like, it's not like...
I know, he said that several times in the boardroom. And I thought, why is he talking about Trump so much?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Trump. So that's where I sensed it.
Fair.
I pick up on these little things.
Yeah, interesting. So what? So you've got obviously your range is doing very well.
Yes, is this Hollywood what, is this browser.
Your, is this what your focus is now? Like, I mean, it was before, obviously, but I mean,
scaling no more up, reality expanding. TV. I never say never. If the right opportunity came along, I'd consider it. But I do love my TV debating. It is fun to go on.
I bet. Have you ever done those, Bob?
Speak my mind.
Oh, I love them. Yeah,
do you love them?
Yeah.
They're fun.
Love doing a tape. I mean, I love an opinion, don't I?
Exactly. A healthy
plenty
one.
Of them.
A healthy one, you know? I mean, I think, you know, give each person a time to, a chance to speak their mind. Oops. And then you come together and you wear your boxing gloves and you go for
it. When you're passionate about something, I think it's a good forum to have a debate in.
Yes.
Because when you're not giving the other person a right to reply or a voice, it's no longer a debate then. Do you know what I mean?
It's just shouting.
It just becomes something that it shouldn't be.
Exactly. So I love going on GB News and just having a sparring session with words. It's fun.
Good. I mean, then we need people like you to...
So if Alan unblocked you tonight and said, well, come back next year, would you turn up?
Did you win All-Stars? It depends on how manipulated it would be. Maybe now that I know how manipulated... And that's another thing. It's like, I remember the producers also in those Vox Pops, they try to get you to say something. They'll say like, ugh, wasn't Catherine a bitch in that task? Isn't she just so difficult? And I'd say... No, I don't agree with that.
Did you know what they was doing?
Yes. Yeah. I've worked in TV production.
Yeah.
I am not green. This is not my first rodeo, so to speak. So I knew exactly what they were doing. And also, I think they didn't like that. So they didn't like that, obviously, I wasn't saying what they wanted me to say. I wasn't jumping into the deep end head first.
Mm-hmm.
I remember people would say, I'll give it a go. And I thought, and Lord Sugar even said in the first boardroom, don't be PM until the task is synergistic with your skill set or your background. And that's exactly what I was doing. And I remember saying to him when he was about to fire me, I said, Lord Sugar, I am following your instructions. You said wait till the task is synergistic with your skill set. I put myself up as PM in week two. I was sub-team leader 4 out of 6 tasks, always stepping up to the plate. What did I do wrong? How could you? And he actually said something like, why are you even here? You don't need me. And I said, but yes, I do. What? You think I'm going to put myself through this process if I didn't need you?
Yeah, right.
I need you as a mentor. I need, you know, there's so much we could do together. I have 5 new products waiting to be released.
But turns out, not so much, because it's all going pretty well.
Exactly.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining us. Our first guest in the studio.
So lovely to have you in the studio. Not be on a Zoom.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in, babe.
Thank you for
our goodie bag.
FUBAR Radio presents...
All areas. We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Or vagina of cow.
Yeah.
But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just the
social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Politics Uncensored. This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
You know, we're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now, with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
The Dating Show.
Please
do you remember back in the day when it used to be, like, fashionable or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook? Yeah. And you'd be like, hello, I'm, like, in a relationship. What was the other one? It was It's Complicated. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with...
Yeah.
Or
it's complicated.
But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you'd like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you'd give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, wasn't it?
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lang, and we've got a game.
We have got a game, and this game, Stephen, is called Is This a Reality TV Show? Question number one.
Hit me with your best shot. Come on.
Here's my best shot, babes. So, is this a reality TV show? Several women fight for the heart of a millionaire. The only problem is he's not a millionaire.
That's a reality show.
Do you reckon it's a reality show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I can confirm it is real.
Yay! Ding!
Ding, ding, ding. We're on a roll. Number two. Oh,
wait, do we get the name? No? Okay.
Nah. yes, we do. It's called Joe Millionaire.
Right, okay, good.
Or Joe Not So Millionaire.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Question number two. England's worst drivers compete in a range of challenges in order to earn back their driving licence.
No.
I don't think.
Can't be.
Because legally,
yeah,
I don't
legal.
Know. I'm thinking insurance. Can that be?
And I don't think you could, like, do challenges to win back your licence.
We both saying no to that.
I'm saying no.
We're saying no. Let's lock it in.
Producers.
It's real.
No. Okay. Well,
it's called Worst Driver. Funnily enough.
Right, well, there are moral issues at this game show that I would like to take up.
Oh, it's still going. What channel would we find this on? We don't know. Number three. Cancel estate family gets the chance to win £1 million. The only catch is they have give up their benefits for a month.
No. How can that... No, absolutely not.
No, I don't think that can be, because if that's all you've got coming in...
That's like...
That's your Lecky, your Walter...
No, but also...
Your Cravendale.
That's poverty porn. That's like watching people that are poorer than you do stuff for your gratification. Do you know what? It's happened before, but I'm going to say no.
The thing is about all of these, and maybe this says a lot about reality TV... Any of these could be reality TV shows. And
you could have been asked to partake in one of them.
Absolutely. And anyone I find out ain't a show, I'm going straight to a channel tomorrow morning and I'm selling it. So we're both going to lock in. No, that's not real.
Yep. Going to say no.
It is fake.
Good. Thank God for that.
We're good at this, babes.
The world is not as horrible as we're making it sound.
Yeah, because, that's taking the piss, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit.
Right. Number four. Average man goes undercover in prison for 6 weeks. If they don't get killed or caught, they win a cash prize.
Sorry, don't get killed. That's the aim of this show.
Now, some of these, I've just been told, some of these can be foreign TV shows. I don't know if that changes the game a little bit, but
maybe,
still.
Maybe.
I come back to insurance all the time with TV shows. If they don't get killed... Where are you getting public liability that your contestant or your contributor is getting killed?
Yeah, I can't remember any of those, like, you know, this Channel 5 worst moments of reality TV one. You're like, the contestant got killed, so they didn't win £1 million.
Yeah, and surely that's like we would have seen on the Daily Mail.
I think so.
We're both going to lock in now, and I think we're going to hear that it's real. I'd love to know what country it is, and I will try and find out.
If it is, I reckon it's South America, but let's go.
It is. Thankfully, it's fake.
Thank God.
So, but it was that stunning. Do you remember that Salt of a Prisoner? He'd come out and he'd become a model. He had the most amazing eyes, didn't he?
He had a child with Chloe Green.
That's the one.
The Hot Felon.
Yeah, if that was a show,
No one wants to see you and the hot fella in a TV show.
I reckon some people might. Anyway, number five.
Save that for your OnlyFans.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, Chloe. I know he's your baby daddy.
They broke up anyway.
Oh, have they? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Oh, no, that's not good. That's all right then. That's not good. Anyway, number five. A woman has the chance to meet the love of her life when she's placed into the villa with 10 gorgeous men.
Yeah.
Lucky cow. However, only 5 are straight.
Playing it straight, I watched that.
Got a bait, yeah.
And that was won by Mr. Gay Portsmouth. Weirdly enough, I was discussing that this week. Maybe it was because of I Kissed a Boy.
Psychic moment. You've got to do the lottery this week.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I
playing
remember.
It straight.
Playing it straight.
5 gays, 5 straight. Lovely. Sounds like a perfect villa.
Would never pass the test these days to be put on TV because they were basically telling these gay men to pretend to be straight to get this woman on board. Would not happen.
Yeah.
In 2023.
Duty of care and just the way the world is now.
Yeah, and mental health stuff, like making 5 gay guys pretend to be straight to get a woman to, like, want to marry them.
Wonder if I could get cast on that.
depends.
Stranger things have happened. Right, so that one.
Have they? Could you tell me what they were?
And guys, that is all for today's show. We hope you had a lovely old time listening back to some of these conversations.
Join us next week where we'll be back again reviewing some of our favourite moments.
And Merry Christmas! Hey!